Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ash-shara min la ilaha illallah waqtahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Nasta'inu nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. Subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruka. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness that there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise. And blessed is your name, and there is none to be served beside you. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. The peace that only Almighty God can give. We welcome you once more to the Saturday, a broadcast of the evolution, a revolutionary thought and creative purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad Rahimullah Alayhi. Let me share this short excerpt with you, formally entering into the study session. Praise be to Allah.
What we are building in the United States of America for our life as Muslims in this country, we are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants us to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the model God creates for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, that can't be my God. My God is the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything and never existed in any situation that made him dependent or weak or helpless. We are peacemakers. Our model, the Prophet Muhammad, the peacemaker. We should be liberators. We should be championing the cause of freedom of religion. It is God that has put you on solid foundation. Foundations that your own life, your own natural life, is asking for. It's asking for, because God made your life to ask for these things. God has driven us to come and embrace the great design of us, that he is ours. God wants us to see ourselves not as Negroes, not as black people. God wants us to see ourselves as the Khalifa that he created.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God, Allah. That is the introduction to the study sessions held here at America Muslim 360. Praise be to Allah. Actually studying the addresses and the lectures of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad Rahimullah Alayhi, that we should take our time and go through each lecture with a examining eye, praise be to Allah, so that we can implement the principles enunciated in each address in our personal and our community lives, praise be to Allah. I have made a selection last Saturday, and this address is entitled Creator and Creation. We couldn't complete the whole address, but we shall attempt this morning, inshallah, to complete this address entitled Creator and Creation. I want to share with you a reading from the Quran before we get started. You know, one of the purposes of holding these study sessions is so that we can make connections with Scripture and with the life example of our Prophet Muhammad and incorporate those in our individual and community life. We are seeking to engage the group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, and direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. These study sessions are open to all well-meaning human beings wishing to go beyond merely quoting, but to making connections with the logic of Scripture and the life example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him, utilizing Imam Muhammad's tafsir. We ask, if you would, to bring pen and paper with you and a willingness to share what Allah blessed you with from out of these wonderful addresses and lectures. I want to, like I just stated earlier, to make the connection with Scripture. This address that we will share this morning is connected to the 112th surah of the Quran entitled Ikhlas, or purity. Ikhlas, purity of faith. It was the practice of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, to recite Surah Ikhlas at every Jummah. Surah Ikhlas is determined to be in its worth to be one-third of the Quran. So it was the practice of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, to recite Surah Ikhlas at the most important day of the week, that is Friday, the day of Jummah. So let me share with you the Surah Ikhlas, the matter of the Quran. I am utilizing the Yusuf Ali commentary on the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kul huwallahu ahad wa allahu samad lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Almighty God speaks the truth. Yusuf Ali's commentary on this surah is this: say, he is God, the one and only, God the eternal, the absolute. He begets not, nor is he begotten, and there is none like unto him. May Allah bless the translation and the commentary of Yusuf Ali in regards to the Surah Ikhlas, or the purity of faith. It is its worth is stated to be one-third of the Quran. Let me share with you some statements from the Islamic scholars concerning Surah Ikhlas, or the purity of faith. They say, the nature of God is here indicated to us in a few words, such as we can understand. The qualities of God are described in numerous places elsewhere in the Quran. Here, we are especially taught to avoid the pitfalls into which men and nations have fallen at various times in trying to understand God. The first thing we have to know is that his nature is so sublime, so far beyond our limited conceptions, that the best way in which we can realize him is to feel that he is a personality, he in parentheses, and not a mere abstract conception of philosophy. He is near to us. He cares for us. We owe our existence to him. Secondly, he is the one and only God, the only one to whom worship is due. All other things or beings that we can think of are his creatures and in no way comparable to him. And thirdly, he is eternal, without beginning or end, absolute, not limited by time or space or circumstance, the reality before which all other things or places are mere shadows or reflections. Fourthly, we must not think of him as having a son or a father, for that would be to import animal quality into our conception of him. And fifthly, he is not like any other person or thing that we know or can imagine. His qualities and nature are unique. There is a negative idea of polytheism, a system in which people believe in God's many and Lord's many. Such a system is opposed to our truest and profoundest conceptions of life, for unity in design, unity in the fundamental facts of existence proclaim the unity of the Maker. In the Arabia, the word is used samad, samad is difficult to translate by one word. Yusuf Ali has used two words, eternal and absolute. That latter, that absolute, it implies that absolute existence can only be predicated on him, on Allah. All other existence is temporal or conditional. Second, that he is dependent on no person or things, but all persons or things are dependent on him, thus negating the idea of gods and goddesses who ate and drank, wrangled and plotted, depended on the gifts of worshipers, etc. This is to negate the Christian idea of the Godhead, the Father, the only begotten Son, etc. This surah, this sums up the whole argument and warns us specially against anthropomorphism, the tendency to conceive of God after our own pattern, an insidious tendency that creeps in at all times and among all people. So this address that we are sharing with you this morning is entitled Creator and Creation. Praise be to Almighty God, and it is connected with Scripture. It is connected with the surah that we just shared with you, Ikhlas, the purity of faith. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So let us begin the study session. Here we go.
Is the world broadcast of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad Speak, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waris Deen Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Nasta'inuhu, nasta'afiruhu, wa nu'manu bihi azza wa jal. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashadu an Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah, the God and the Father, the Cherisher, the Sustainer of the world. We seek him for assistance. We turn to him asking forgiveness. Put our complete trust in him. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except one God, Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his servant and his messenger. We pray the peace and the blessings be upon the Prophet, upon his descendants, upon his companions, the righteous, all Ameen. Allah Most High says in his book, the Quran, in the chapter of the surah by the title, An-Nahl, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ. And he, that is God, has made subservient to you the night and the day, the sun and the moon, and the stars obeisance, that is, they submit and render service, be angry he, by his command, by the command of God, that is. And also, Waidan, call it Ta'ala, the Most High God says, Ta'ala Nas, wa bin najmi hum yahtadun, and by the sign in the creation, and by the star, they are guided. أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Then is the one who creates like unto the one who does not create? Will not you reflect? There is but one God, that is Allah. There is no God other than him. He is the creator, and everything else is creation. He created us, created Adam, and God says in his book that the parable of the likeness of Jesus' birth is that of Adam. And he created him from dust. And again, God Most High says in the Holy Book, Quran, that if he wished to take a son, he would take one or choose one from among those he created. Therefore, we must understand that whatever we worship beside God is creation, because God alone is creator. To worship Jesus, then, is to worship creation. He's created. And to worship Jesus is not to worship the creator, because Jesus is not creator, he is created. And to compare Jesus or any other with Allah as a God is wrong, because the one who creates cannot be compared with one who does not create. And God Most High also says in our holy book, the خلق السماوات والأرض, the creation of the stars and earth, is a bigger creation than the creation of man. So that idea that man is the microcosm from a macrocosm, a small world from a big world, that is on his way back by divine route into the big world, from God back to God, from God back to God as God, to be God, is all condemned in our religion.
Okay. Check the studio board, see if there's anyone who raised their hand. What the imam is sharing with us now, we shared some of that last week concerning when we transition. The understanding from the words that we say from God we come and to God we shall return. But that is an indication that we are a part of God, that we are a part of God, and that when we transition, we return back to the main body, the big God. But we know Allah says there is nothing like unto him, nothing like unto him. And that includes us. That includes us. You will hear the imam say that we are from God's will. We are from God's will. So the correct thing to say is from Allah's will we come, and to Allah's will we all shall return. There is nothing like unto God, including us. We are creation. We are not a part of the Creator. Allah shares his attributes with us, but that does not make us him. There is nothing like unto Almighty God. I see we have someone that raised their hand. We have two callers on the line. I'm opening up the mic of 727-741. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Martha Naila Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And I just have a question. I understand correctly, because we do hear indicating when the imam mentioned the creation of the sun, the moon, the stars, I believe he said, is a larger creation. And when individuals say we, human beings, are co-creators, the imam was just indicating that that creation outside is larger than us. So that's indicating that we definitely cannot be co-creators of anything. That's what I'm wanting to understand. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Allah says to us in the Quran that he is the best of creators. He has given us the ability to duplicate, to alter from a creative mind. But what we create, what we utilize, is only that which Allah has already created. What Allah has already created, we can utilize the properties of creation, and using our free will and our thoughtful thoughts, we can utilize what Allah has already created to create something of benefit to the human being. But Allah is the one that says to nothing and creates. Allah says, "Kun fayakun," be and it is. So man can only use that what Allah has already created. And we do have the gift that Allah has given us of utilizing the creation and create things that will benefit us and sometimes things that will harm us. But we cannot reach outside of creation. We cannot go beyond creation. Does that somewhat clear it up for you, Martha?
Yes, and I guess the terminology, cold, I mean, it, for me, it sounds, it just when I hear individuals use it, it sounds as though we're saying we are partners in the in creating what is. So I'm just, I guess for myself, steering away from using the word co-creator.
Allah is merciful, huh? And we can be merciful. Allah is a redeemer, and he has given us the ability to redeem ourselves. But that does not make us God. These are gifts mm-hmm. that Allah give us, you know. When mm-hmm. when you get a co-creator, well, that co comes a great distance lower than creator. We can only utilize what Allah has already created, and we can improve on our life. Allah has designed us to reach the destiny of Khalifa, and that is to manage this creation, to manage it, to be a manager of it. But the creation itself, Allah says, is a more complex, praise be to Allah, a more complex creation than your creation, man. So that, I hope that clears things up. You know, that cold apparently. You know, there are parents, but they cooperate with each other, and they act in the role that Allah has bestowed upon us as parents. But Allah created the concept and the idea of parent. Allah created mm-hmm. us. So we can only utilize what Allah has already created. We cannot say to nothing and bring it into existence. But Allah has charged us with managing this creation. Manage means to manipulate that which he has already created. From the skies all the way to the earth, Allah has given us the ability to manage creation. But creation mm-hmm. is far bigger than us. Matter of fact, I was thinking prior to coming on the air that our biological construct, we have been created out of creation. Out of that, the creation came first. Then Allah says, "Kun fayakun," and our physicality, our biology, our physical properties come from out of the earth: iron, magnesium, oxygen. So we make sure that we accentuate the difference between being able to manipulate, but whatever you manipulate, Allah created that.
Mm-hmm.
Allah created that, and he has given us the responsibility. You are not wrong if you say, let me see what I can work with here. Let me see what I can create to make my life better. or my children's life better. But we can only utilize the content of the creation that Allah created. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
The creation is a bigger creation than our, even than our creation. For we are, when I say born, we are born out of creation. Yes. Yes, ma'am. So I hope that clears it up for you, inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. I just won't say cold. Because for me, I've heard one say, and like we co-created bringing the stars into existence, or we co-created and making the sun be the up where it is, and we co-created. And so that's kind of going a little far. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, you're welcome. Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, we have Muhammad from the community of Prophet Muhammad by way of Columbus, Georgia. Thank you, Martha. And if you wish to share once more, just press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. We thank Allah very much for the service he's given all of us this morning. When we reflect, in our creation, Allah is telling us that everything was just by him using the translation be, and it was. That goes for the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything like that. They all come from the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and that goes for us too. But we also know that the words that Shaitan used to make us deviate also come from Allah to test us, to see if we will stick to the universal clarity of creation that Allah shows that he has put his, like Iman was saying, will and everything out here is based upon his will. And our natural inclination makes us always lean toward the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless if we speak French, Japanese, whatever, because the oneness of our status is on your own free will. The more you want to study the Quranic Arabic, the more you will maintain that oneness, and the more that you'll become and have everything in creation supporting you in your worship to Allah, to your hearing and obeying what Allah says, you know, because he best knows what we all going through, what the sun goes through, the earth, whatever we see and don't see, he is the only one who really knows. But he gives us guidance on how to use those things to help us in our human creation to do our destiny that he has for us is being the best of creation. So when we start to think in any kind of way that we should use creation for our own vain desires or do for self or whatever we're going to call it, we have already been misguided. Everything created is supposed to help us worship. The guidance or knowledge or whatever we want to call it that's in our reality, give all the praise to Allah in our work, in our homes, in our water, in our air, whatever we are responsible for. We are supposed to encourage it to support us in the worship to Allah by becoming the universal order, the way al-Islam was given to us by Allah in all of our understanding. We know we are striving to be a universal order of the will of Allah. And that's what we're struggling with every day to do. So when we take anybody's logic, anybody's rationale, and that's why Imam Muhammad took it off himself. He said, now I'm letting y'all know that my guidance comes from the Quran and my leadership. My example is Prophet Muhammad, because these things lead you back to where you came from, and that's from the word of Allah. Be. So when we, with Allah's help, like you said, Sister Martha, the question that you answered, they're already in you, but they're not physicals and all these different things. They the word in you that Allah has given you is a natural inclination that lets you know that they're all the praises belong to him. And everything that you do should worship him. If it don't, then you know some knowledge or some words or some part of creation is influencing your thoughts. Remember where you came from, you know. So that's And we have a solution to it. Allah said, go in the cure. Come together and bring your words, the images in your mind, everything that you control, and see how you can make it into the Tawheed of the universal will of Allah that controls everything that we see and don't see. And we're working on it, and we thank Allah very much that we are working on it. But again, that's our jihad. You know, how do not let Shaitan come in and give us another idea, another word, or use creation out and take it out of its nature for our own benefit? Then that's where we are. Where we are now. That's why we're striving for them. And prayer is one number of words. Remember, prayers are number of words, and then you put them into deeds and actions. But you go to the word first. What you say and ask Allah for. Just want to say that.
Yes, sir. You definitely bring up one of the schemes of the Shaitan. Allah says when he reveals, when he sends revelation, Shaitan twisted to send it in another direction. You know, he uses words that will take us off course. We may think that we are reading the word of Almighty God, but under close examination and scrutiny, you can see those areas where the Shaitan have entered the revelation and twisted it. One of the identifiers of the Quran, praise be to Almighty God, Allah, is that it is a correction of previous scriptures. It identifies what is from God and what is not. It is a criterion of judgment. And so the Quran is a correction of scriptures that came before, and that the Shaitan used similar verbiage, similar words to take the human being off course. You are so correct, my brother. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Praise be to Allah. Okay, we want to return back to this lecture. It is entitled Creator and Creation. It is connected with the Surah Ikhlas. Ikhlas is the purity. It is the 112th Surah in the Quran. And it was the practice of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, that he would cite Surah Ikhlas at every Jummah, and that the Surah Ikhlas is tantamount to one-third of the Quran. So what Imam Muhammad is sharing with us is a reinforcement, praise be to Allah, of the Surah Ikhlas. Let us return back to the address. It is entitled Creator and Creation. May we all benefit from the hearing.
Man is not from God, he's from matter. And everything is created by God. If we want to think of ourselves as being from God, then we are from obedience to God. We are from obedience to God. We are from his will, from his plan. He created us to obey his will, and he created us obedient to his will. To return to God only means to return to that state of obedience. To return to that state of obedience, conforming to what God created us to be, or created us for, then we have returned to God. We speak of those who die as returned to God. They have returned to God because they have no will of their own to act outside of the law of God. So they have returned to God. And the end for some will be hell, and the end for others is paradise, according to the word of God. And we start in both conditions while we live in this life, according to the teachings of God in the Quran. The condition of happiness and tranquility, of peace, of paradise, begins in this life, and conditions of hell also begin in this life. So God says, Asamen Yahuluku Kamal Yahuluk is the one who created all this, who creates, to be likened to one who creates nothing but an ignorant comparison man makes. That's because he's blinded by his own limited light. And again, God says he is the creator of everything. Al-Khaliqu kulli shay. He is the creator of everything. There is nothing that exists that Allah didn't create. Whatever is in existence, Allah created it. Allah says in the Quran, now show me. God proposes the argument himself. Show me now what it is that they have created, these gods you claim to be God. Now God has created all of this. The whole universe created by God, the cosmic reality, or whatever you may call it, is created by God. Now, you claim some other God? Show us that they created. They have created nothing. No one will say, see that little star up there? My God created that one. No one would be that big a fool. No, the one God created it all. And whatever has been responsible for all of it is responsible for all consequences and all things that evolve from it. Nothing can be a consequence and nothing can be an evolution in what he has done that would be given to the credit of another. No, if he has created it, the one who created it created its potential, created its design, created also its fate and its destiny. So whatever happens is because of that one who created it all. So Muslims must understand that the attribute of God that distinguishes us from many other people, including Christians, is Creator. We believe in none but the Creator, not in the Son of the Creator, not in the Spirit of the Creator, only in the Creator himself. So the Son is his creation, and the Spirit only acts by his command. Praise be to Allah. But we've come through a season that is dying out. Each time they take the census, every 10 years, they have a weaker generation in that belief. It's a dying belief. This is Christmas thing. It's a dying belief. And you will still stay staying with it. You should think about it. It's a dying belief. And the people that give themselves to that kind of thing are the misguided. They are the misguided people. And a Muslim should never be associated with that kind of shirk. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in his birth by the power of God, that God created him, that his birth was miraculous, that God created him. We believe in that. But we believe that that is not a bigger miracle than the miracle of Adam. For he created Jesus from a woman. And he created Adam from dust. So certainly we believe in that great miracle, but we believe the creation of Adam is even a bigger miracle. And we accept all of the prophets of God. This is binding on us as Muslims, that we do not discriminate against any of them, but accept all of them as equally legitimate. They all have equal legitimacy as prophets and messengers of God. However, God says arrange some of them in ranks above others. So to think that Jesus is bigger than our prophet or greater than our prophet in stature or rank is ignorance in this religion. But our prophet is the leader of all the prophets. According to the sunnah of the prophet, peace be upon him. And if you understand it, according to the Quran, because he is the seal of the prophets and the last of the prophets and the one in whom God fulfilled his promise. He is the great liberator for all the people, a mercy to all the world. Peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him. And he is an example for all people. He is an example for the believers, but also for all people. Surely you will find in him, God says, the most excellent model to follow in the Prophet Muhammad. For if God has said to us, we will find in Muhammad the excellent model for us to follow. Then that should tell us that the others are not to be followed. Not as the model one. But to follow them would be to follow in part. And as Paul says in the Gospel, in the New Testament, when that comes and is complete, that is in part, is done away with. And I believe that we may use that language to describe exactly what happened when Prophet Muhammad came. That which was in part had to be pushed aside, done away with. But those who follow Moses is grief. But what they have is in part. Those who follow Jesus is grief. But what they have is in part. Those who follow Muhammad, they have the whole package. They have the whole package. And nothing else suffices except what Prophet Muhammad has brought. Everyone else, when he comes up before God, if he comes up without what Prophet Muhammad has brought, he will come up deficient. Maybe he'll be accepted, but he'll come up deficient. He'll be deficient. Those who follow the whole prophets will be deficient. They will be lacking. They won't have enough. Those who follow Jesus, peace be upon the prophet, they will be deficient. They won't have enough. God says only of Muhammad, peace and the blessing be on him. He is enough. He is enough. That's what God says in the Quran. For mankind. And I know for myself, from my own personal experience, I was hungry until I found Muhammad. The fathers of Israel, they weren't enough for me. Moses, Jesus, they were enough for me. They left me still hungry. But when I found Muhammad in the Quran and in the Sunnah, Allah is my witness, God be my witness, enough for me. I don't hunger anymore. I don't thirst anymore. I am completely satisfied. I have no desire to discover anything other than what I have found in Muhammad. And that's God's truth. That's the truth. I swear on the Quran, I swear on my mother, everything. That is the truth. Now, you may have your own opinion of that. You're entitled to your own opinion. And when we look at the world, we can see in the world that those who hold to the letter of the old array of religion, their lives are miserable. It is only those who come out of the letter, come out of the rigid confines of the beliefs that they claim and modify those beliefs. There's only those that we find live kind of comfortably and free in the world. But those who hold to the rigid framework of their own messages, oh, they are in trouble. Now, it's just the Muslim's religion is miserable. And the Muslim who holds to the rigid framework of his religion is free. He's free. He's happy. He's relieved. He's not in any way, burdened or made uncomfortable. When you find a Muslim complaining and in trouble, that's a Muslim who's not adhering strictly to his religion. But when you find a non-Muslim in trouble, that's one adhering strictly to his religion. Yes! Where are the miserable Muslims? In Las Vegas? Huh? In atheism? Hmm? In communism? That's where the miserable Muslims are. In capitalism? That's where the miserable Muslims are. Hmm? Selling whiskey? Using narcotics? Committing adultery? Fornicating? Gambling? Flirting with truth and with lies? That's where the miserable Muslims are. But the comfortable Christians are there, and the miserable Christians are trying to find trying to follow the letter of their book. This seems funny, you know, but it's true. The comfortable Christians are those who have fun, play a little bit, relax themselves. And, you know, they're the comfortable Christians. But those are the Christians that follow the letter of the book. No, I can't drink, I can't do this, and everything, believe on Jesus. They're miserable. For them to not to drink and not to give themselves to adultery and fornication, gambling and play life, makes them make their life very miserable. Now, you may say that this is wrong, but I know for a fact. I met some of the holy people myself from Christianity. Gotten to know them very well. In fact, a girl, she wanted me to be her boyfriend. I was a Muslim from the Temple of Islam, and she was a Christian from the Temple of Christianity. We both were from temples. And we had a strict code, strict diet, strict code. We weren't supposed to go to movies or anything, although I snuck sometime and went to a movie, you see. But she told me no movie. She didn't wear makeup. She said, no movie, no makeup, no dance, no play. But she wasn't happy. She was very miserable. Very miserable. And I don't think I can complete the story. But she told me something that was very, very ridiculous. Very ridiculous. As a relief for her. I have to tell you now. He told me that her preacher says that a certain portion of Acts, if you read that, then you can have fornication. You can fornicate. But it won't be accepted until you read that certain portion of Acts. And I wondered for a long time. That happened to me when I was 17 years old. I wonder for a long time, how come it was Acts? And I went and read Acts and read all through Acts. And I came to the conclusion when I was about 47 years old, he said Acts because that was an act. It had nothing to do with really the chapter Acts, but he just knew that his thing was an act. But he told her to read from Acts, and it'll be all right. We find that these other religions have been undergoing constant change, modernization, to keep up with the times.
And they think that a Muslim, if he doesn't have that kind of religion, a religion that accommodates change and modification on that religion, that he really has a burden from religion. I've had people tell me this in discussions with them, so-called philosophers, doctors of religion. They have told me this in discussions on radio, that if this religion doesn't allow any progress then, if it doesn't allow things. You know what I told them? I said, look, when we say we believe in God, we mean it. And when we say God reveals this, we mean it. That's what we believe. We mean it. And how do we get authority to change what God has revealed? You know, to change the Quran, to talk about changing something in the Quran so it will accommodate women being new men, or the changing of rules, you know, for men and women or something like that. For us to talk about doing something like that to the Quran is the same as us talking about changing the moon. So look, we don't want the moon cold, we want it hot. And we don't want it splitting up in these quarters like it's doing. We want it just to stay fixed. Or we want to make a cube out of it, you know? Yeah, it's just like talking about making alterations on the creation itself. We say God did that. Huh? And man can't come up with a better idea for this universe. Well, if we believe Allah did also, the same God, did also the Quran, that those are his words. Like the creation, his sign. And we believe the Quran is his work. Then how can we talk about making any change in the Quran? We cannot talk about it. And it's a blessing from Allah, from Almighty God, that there is something from God on this earth that has been respected for 14 centuries. Don't you know we got the only gift from God that has been respected for 14 centuries? I have been respected for generations. For what came from Moses was not respected. It was respected only until it became a burden on them, and then they tried to change it so it would be easy for them. Huh? Or they did other things with it. So it was with the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus stayed intact for as long as it didn't demand too much of the people. But as soon as the world got a hold to it, they took it out of its natural order, out of its natural form, and made it to suit them, made it easier for them. So you get a double message in the gospel, you get a double message in the Old Testament.
Praise to Allah. That note I want to share with you from the Quran, we find religious bodies struggling. They're struggling and separating on the subject matter of homosexuality. There are the denominations that stand true to what Allah has created. And there are others that want to alter and twist Almighty God's intent concerning both sexes, the male and female. Allah addresses that in the Quran, the role of sex and homosexuality. Not just the story of Luke, praise be to Allah, may Allah grant him the highest station of paradise, but in the fourth surah of the Quran, Allah makes it plain and clear. It is the 15th surah, ayat or verse, beginning at section 3. Allah says, well, the commentary on what has been revealed is this. If any of your women are guilty of lewdness, take the evidence of four witnesses from amongst you against them. And if they testify, confine them to houses until death do claim them. or God ordained for them some way. In the 16th ayat of verse, Allah says, if two men among you are guilty of lewdness, punish them both. If they repent and amend, leave them alone. For God is all returning, most merciful. Allah accepts the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and repent soon afterwards. To them will God turn in mercy, for God is full of knowledge and wisdom. So that is perfectly clear concerning the idea of homosexuality. If two women are guilty of lewdness, he didn't say if a woman and a man, although that is addressed also, of fornication and adultery. But this deals strictly with the idea of homosexuality. If any of your women are guilty of lewdness, take the evidence of four witnesses from amongst you against them. And if they testify, confine them to houses until death do claim them. As far as men, in the 16th ayat or verse, Allah says plainly here, if two men among you are guilty of lewdness, punish them both. If they repent and amend, leave them alone, for Allah is oft returning, most merciful. So, alhamdulillah, that is speaking right into the current situation, the current questions that have been laid before human beings. And we do not say, well, if so, we don't compromise. We don't twist what Allah has ordained to suit or fit our weaknesses, or to satisfy society or to criticize us. It is plain and clear here. We do not alter the word of Almighty God. Praise be to Allah. Okay. I see Muhammad's hand is still raised. I'm going to open up his mic. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum as-salam. Just want to say, right, Imam left two keys, and you just left one, too, by Allah's mercy, by reading 16th verse. Imam said, when you understand, you don't associate those people who have a package that has a twist on it. When we have the whole package, our job is to invite them to the whole package, which in this case happens to be Al-Islam. Not humanity, not New Africa, not China, not Russia, not France, but Al-Islam. And then do not associate with them who have willfully choose not to accept the halal way of doing things. You know, and Allah says in the 16th chapter, verse you just read, leave them alone. After you give them fair warning, understanding, and guidance on why we can't have that around us, so they will respect our share of the duty. That Allah has showed them, hey, we migrated and left out of your world to show you that we do this in peace. And we have established our own share of this dunya for our children and for those who believe, for your children if they believe. And if they want to take the whole package of what Almighty God, the creator of all of us, has chosen for us as a favor to live. And then we have to make sure that we are strong enough not to continue to take the artificial rationale and logic of why we should have a relationship with something that is forbidden, when it's so easy just to be an example of halal and let that same human being who has been given the same ability equally by Almighty God Allah to take his or her free will and do what they please as long as it doesn't infringe upon the believers. So we're not going to get around the contemporary definition of our way of life, halal and al-Islam. We're not going to get around with a better example of the communities of human beings than those who were once we established this community of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's not going to be a better one. And we have been going through the transition by Allah's permission as long as we have been doing it. And we see that we have grown a lot, the human family, toward going toward what is halal, loving one another, having the best treatment to the creation that feeds us and clothes us, you know, and we are producing a pure life so that others, if they have it with their own free will, we can't change them neither. Allah gave them that free will. And he's told you many of them are going to take their free will and fill hell up with it and other different ways of life and different degrees of life. And we have to be at peace with that and be satisfied. And to be happy with what Allah has prescribed for us and everybody. That's what makes us love Al-Islam so much. It doesn't discriminate against anybody. It doesn't tell nobody they had to meet some kind of human concept that's agreeable to what we call humanity and what's humane. You got your own free will to come and live the life that Allah has created for all of us. Without discrimination, without compromise, and you can leave and go as you free. Hey, it don't get no better than what Allah has given us when we establish this community. Prophet Muhammad from the favor out of the Quran called Al-Islam and the culture called Halal.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. So true. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Air code 727741. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the evolution of and created purpose.
Thank you, Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Assalam to everyone. God's peace be upon you. And thank Allah for this understanding or our connecting to an understanding as we're weaving it together. Praise be to God. And I'm saying that to say what I heard the Imam say, and my understanding is we cannot take the religion and as the final reality that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, number one, is a completion, and that there are the prophets before him, that those that connect with that particular guidance, they're incomplete. But I thought right away, though, when in the reading I was trying, I didn't find it in Quran yet, but where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you, us, or everyone on what they say they believe. So, I'm thinking, you know, truly for those who don't see Jesus as God, number one, but are following the prescript that they understand, and those who don't see Moses or Abraham or whatever as God, but they're following what they understand of the prescript. And as the Imam was saying, they will be deficient is the word he used. But on to those who are saying, well, we follow Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and that consideration is complete, or that following is complete, then we are not to try even to try and change or try to make the Quran accommodate, the revelation itself accommodate us, accommodate our wishes or our desires or how we want to try to transform it. And the point that I'm going to now is the discussion on women and the female as an imam. He made it very clear. And I'll stop right there because, you know, there's a thinking that's rising or has risen. And I believe it's gotten a little confused on there's one thing to teach and there's another thing to be called the imam. I'll stop right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. All of us, let me say this here, as far as I'm concerned, all of us are imam. You are responsible for your own self. You have to lead yourself in this way of life that Allah has prescribed for us. No one can force you or coerce you or oppress you into following the moral code, the moral life. So I'm saying that all of us are imams when we truly understand that title, imam. Praise be to Allah. But as far as a female leading the congregation in prayer, that is prohibited. That is prohibited. A female, a female can conduct a ta'aleem. Ta'aleem is more than, it is nothing more than teaching, education. It is an educational process. And we know from the example of the prophet's wife, Aisha, may Allah grant them both the highest station in the paradise, that she instructed the Islamic scholars, that they came and they sat in front of her, and she gave them instruction on the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. Let me say this, you know, Allah charged Adam and his mate that they could eat from a garden that he had placed them in. But he prohibited them from eating from one tree in the midst of the garden. And that tree is described as the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. Imam Muhammad has shared with us, you know, all right, first let me say this here. Good and evil, that is truth and falsehood mixed up, mixed together. The tree of good and evil. We only want a tree that is good, but not the tree of good and evil. And what is that good and evil? When the society identifies for you what is good, when the society or government identifies for you what is good and what is evil versus the word of Almighty God identifying for us what is halal, what is good and lawful. So we do not approach that tree of public opinion about what is good and what is evil. Allah tells us in the Quran, and they change the word from their proper places. So we do not follow the worldly life, world opinion, and change and allow them to identify for us what is good and what is bad. We use the criteria of the sacred word of Almighty God that identifies what is good and lawful and what is bad and evil. So that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, represents the opinion, praise be to Allah, worldly opinion. If you rely, let me see what they say on MSNBC. Let me see their adjustment on CBS. Let me see their adjustment coming from a source other than the revealed word of God. So the human being is confronted with that dilemma right now concerning LGBTQ and all of these other letters of what is good and what is a bad. We do not waver. We don't fear the criticism of the criticizer. We will not change the words of the Quran. Praise be to Allah. Yes. What the imam is addressing, these are current issues. This is what we are confronted with at this time. And may we use the proper guidance in how we conduct our lives and our thinking. Praise be to Allah. Okay.
I mean, thank you, Amen.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. The imam said to us, he said, look, turn your houses into masjids. The scripture even says, turn your houses into mosques. A masjid is no more than a place where we perform the salat, sajda, a place of prostration. The husband, praise be to Almighty, a guy is blessed if he is the one that is leading his family in Salat. He is the imam of that house. But also, Allah says of a female that she is the first teacher. That she is the first teacher. So isn't she kind of operating with the small M? The small imam, she is guiding her children and teaching them what is right and what is wrong. So we have to demystify the title imam. We have to demystify it and utilize it, and there's great benefit if we use it properly. Praise be to Allah.
Yes. And imam, if I may say, I did not say the reference in the role as we in the construct, not necessarily the knowledge and the wisdom that comes with being an imam. Yes, the knowledge that guides us is I am an imam on that basis. But in the construct of the development of the community, then there's a role situation. I'll leave it right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. We know that our father Abraham is introduced to us as the imam of the nation. And we have the understanding that Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, alayhi salam, may peace be upon him, he represents a community. Praise be to Allah. So as far as a female leading men in prayer, now I'm quite sure she instructs her son how to pray. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. She instructs him on how to pray. When he get a full understanding and responsibility in how to lead prayer, he can replace her if the father isn't home. Let's say the father is not home. The son that she taught how to lead the congregation and how to lead prayer, that is his role. He's acting in the role of imam. And she, as she is teaching him, paradise lies at the foot of the mother. The woman is the first teacher. So isn't she operating as an imam as she's instructing and leading her children and her household? I'll answer for you. Yes, she is. But in the construct of the Islamic community, the female is prohibited from leading the congregation in prayer. Okay. Praise be to Allah. We have, I'm going to mute your mic, Martha, and you can press 1, which will take you out of the queue. And if you wish to share once more, press 1. I will open up your mic and thank you for your valuable contribution to this study session. Praise be to Allah. On the subject of creator and creation, I thank you. Okay. Muhammad is back with us. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Just want to say 2 quick things. We see if we learn how Allah created what we call and is man first. But as you see, his obligation was to teach what came from him, which is responsible for teaching what Allah has him protect and maintain, and that's woman. The mother is the teacher, and we mustn't take her out of her primary role, and that is to teach male and female the creation of their father and of herself and the roles that they have with each other, and they work as a team. She, as we know, in certain circumstances, has to perform the leading of prayer, you know, for home when father is not away and the son is not has not learned the ways of the responsibilities of his father. And she's always free to lead the prayer for the women, who also has that responsibility of teaching the children the prayer and the creation. How it came, man first, I came after him as a helper to help disseminate the information that Almighty God is giving him. We know in some cases the scholars have said revelation, you know, comes to man or came to man, but inspiration came to the woman, you know, who's inspired to teach the children. And the process naturally goes towards proper roles that the inshallah Allah has given us, which will, again, Allah, he best knows. Now, if we look at that, just think about it. The number one threat in the world today is, Ari, like you were saying, evil is a good definition you gave. It's a mixture of right and wrong. To where, like the Indian used to say, he's speaking with forked tongue. He's more dangerous than the one who might not know what he's talking about, but his intentions are always straight and good. But the one who speaks with a forked tongue is evil, because he or she or it is only trying to use for itself. So humanity right now is the number one ideology, obligation that we are being tested with. And Allah made it clear a long time ago, are you worshiping me? Are you trying to please me? Are you trying to please humanity? But we are also obligated to understand and through prayer ask Allah, how do we help those who are under this artificial concept where it leads them to homosexuality, where it leads them to murder? Because we have to respect everybody's concept, why they ignore the concept, halal, using that terminology, or al-Islam, the way of life, the one that Allah has prescribed for every human being. And we are in that struggle right now, because every other way on this earth, every other logic and rationale on this earth right now that's under the influence of Shaitan is trying to attack al-Islam. That's why they put so much stress on this human rights and all. They started a long time ago. Shaitan started this scheme a long time ago so that it will try to blot out what al-Islam says, separation, education of both responsibilities of the human family, you know, et cetera. And that's what we're doing. Right now we can't hardly move, but we're so afraid that we're going to offend humanity, that word and definition and what people call humanity. You know, as opposed to what is clear and straight from the creator of the word humanity, of the meaning of humanity. You know, so we have to work on that in sugar. How, like you said, not be put in a compromising situation to where we don't know what to do because Shaitan is inviting us to another concept that makes man more important. And what man wants is more important than what Almighty God Allah is going to have important in our lives, whether we like it or not. Just want to say that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise you. Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Allah says to us in the Quran, let there arise from out of you. Speaking, who is that you? The whole of humanity. Let there arise from out of you a band of people called into all that is good and prohibiting what is bad. So the best way is to be a living example of what Allah has prescribed. We can speak a word to the right, but the best word is our actions. Anything that sends a message to your mind is a word. So our behavior, the community that we are in the process of establishing will be the model. And let me say this. That model would not just be us Muslims. The model will be all God-fearing, well-meaning human beings. There are Christians that are fighting against this concept of LGBTQ. There are Jews and others that are speaking out against this foreign idea concerning the life of human beings. So it's not just us, praise be to Almighty God. Allah says in the Quran, never did he send a messenger that he did not prescribe for him wives and children. Wives and children. And we know God's messengers, the prophets, they are examples for us. They are examples for us. They are models for us to follow. Praise be to Allah. Okay, we want to return back to the address entitled Creator and Creation. May we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah. Okay, let me cue it up. Here we go.
A better message, a strict message, and a loose one, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. They have made it that way. But we thank Allah. Allah revealed to his prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, that angels are protecting the Quran. They don't permit anything to come into it and nothing to go out of it. Isn't that wonderful? And we have it as evidence that for 14 centuries it has remained as it was given to Muhammad the prophet, the peace and the blessings be on him. This is wonderful. Now, this thought on the creation of God, I hope we can extract something from that and understand this, that the creation itself suggests the Creator, according to the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet. The creation itself suggests to us that there must be a Creator. And not two or three, but one. One. One for all of it. Then the idea of Creator, it suggests to us that we, being creation, should have a way that the Creator intended for us. We shouldn't just live any kind of way. This form is created by him. We should live a life, a way, that agrees with the form created by God. So it suggests to us a way for us to live that God intends. Being free individuals, free spirits, as the Christian Western world says, we're being free spirits, able to think freely and question things and have our own opinions. should make us come to the, come to a belief that we are special in God's creation, though we are weak in many ways. We are special in God's creation because He didn't select any other creature to give this freedom to. He didn't give it to the animals. He didn't give it to the angels. He gave it to man. Huh? So that should suggest something to us too. In connection with creator creation. Now I am in creation and I'm free. I'm free to explore this creation. I'm free to study it, examine it, extract from it, benefit from it. Huh? So there is creator, there is creation, and now I have a free will and a free imagination. Hmm? So this should lead us to what? A relationship with creation. One that is very, very respectful. We should have a deep respect for creation. Every Muslim is taught this in this religion, to have a deep respect for creation, for everything that God has created. For He has created everything honorable, dignified. Huh? Yes. This is the teachings of this religion. Now,
I want to go back to the studio board and share with you some important public service announcements. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of the evolution, a revolutionary thought and creative purpose, a platform upon which we have established a study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, and I shall answer the raised hand after these important public service announcements. We'll be back in a while, inshallah, God willing.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Thank you, Deepreeta. Praise be to Allah. We have a hand that has been raised that has not spoken yet. Error code 334419. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose.
Alaikum assalam. Imam Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. The point that the Imam is making brings me to mind in terms of resisting this oppressive language of environment about sex by being aware that the creation speaks a language that consistently will reject ideas like color superiority and a race, and will reject this oppressive language of many genders and the like. The creation has consistently, over thousands upon thousands of years, shown a support for healthy logic, healthy reasoning, and rejects unhealthy. And these people that are talking about gender in such a devilish way, such an unnatural way, they are not well. You know, just like the supporters of color consciousness, they're not well. It's the problem with the mind. You know, the language of white superiority and racial superiority among quote unquote whites can be attributed to unhealthy mind disposition. And if we stick with what Allah has given us, we'll be able to resist this poison that's filling the air with this oppressive language strategies. These people who are having sex identity problems, they're not well in the mind, in the soul, and the devil takes advantage of them. You know, confusing language and the idea that you can resist and change the established pattern in Mother Nature. And I'll stop there.
All right.
Thank you,
Michael. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Wonderful. We are to not alter the foundation that Allah has created, our nature. We should not alter our nature, and that nature, it is created good and excellent in the beginning. Praise be to Allah. I'm going to open up the mic of Sister Martha once more, 727-741. Assalamu alaikum, Martha Naila Abdullah.
Alaikum assalam, Imam. And I'm squeezing my eyes right now because I'm going to bring into the conversation that perhaps we can have at another platform. But number one, I had to go back and reread for Ayat 1 to see what lends itself in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's the revelation itself in the Arabic. And I'm speaking, everyone, in reference to the one soul and how when I hear, and then I went to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Adama, and the one soul, I was in the belief that the Adam as Imam referenced, is the intelligence, or giving the names to everything. But that intelligence was not separate from a male over the female. And that the one soul, and the Imam said the mate for the soul was creation, the matter. So I want to know if I'm confused on that process, because coming out of the Christian church, the Baptist church that I was in, it spoke of the male being created physically and then the female being created from him, which lent itself to say that the female was a lesser creation. So I, when I hear that first there was Adam and then Adam's mate, then I think the crossover is from the soul and the mate for the soul and the Adam being the intelligence. I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Praise be to Allah. Very important what you are bringing to the fore. As far as power of the mind and thinking, we are equal in those potentials. The male has only one degree of superiority over the female, and that is described as his physical strength. His physical strength. Every other compartment of life, there is an equality. Allah created one soul, not a female soul, not a male soul. Allah created one soul, and the content of that soul is within each and every last one of us. The only demarcation concerning superiority is in the male's physical strength. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. And we are grateful for that. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So, that you see how scripture has been twisted, that they say that Adam had to tell God that he was lonely. He had to tell God something that evidently God didn't know. I am lonely. And that a God then had to undo his handiwork of creating a male body, put the male into a deep sleep, reach into the male body, remove a rib, and fashion it into the fashion of a female. Those are the things, praise be to Allah, that the Quran comes to correct, and that we ourselves correct that. So as far as the superiority of a male over a female, Allah has identified that as only in his physical strength. I'll stop right there.
Alhamdulillah. Oh. And thank you, man, because I definitely want the understanding that the Adam is not the, as we get it, the male. It is the intelligence and that we all share, like you said. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Even in the Christian scripture, it mentions Adam. Allah, in the Bible, it mentions, and he named them.
Yes.
Yes, so we have to dispel this kindergarten notion of some one physical body walking around, and he's the only one on the earth, that he has to inform God of what God doesn't know, and that a God has to reach inside of his body and fashion a female entity from Adam's rib. Allah is perfect and excellent. Allah makes no mistake. Praise be to Allah. So these are the things that we have to dispel, and we dispel that by living a life that mirrors that content, that we do not demean females. We do not disrespect them. Their opinion is very valuable, and we consult with them. We invite all of us in Amrahum Shura Baina, in mutual consultation. Our families are in trouble because a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in communication. So there is much to be said along that along those lines. But Allah created only one soul, and Allah placed within every soul its content. So it is not a female soul nor a male soul. It is one human essence, one human soul. Praise be to Allah. So we can't alter the words of Quran and speak of women in a disrespectful, lowly station in the life of human beings. You, those that do that, they are distorting what Allah has said. Praise be to Allah. So we are making the correction, and I must say, females are performing in an excellent manner. The conscious, praise be to Allah, the conscious female is operated in a most excellent way, excellent example for human beings, the male and the female. So we're on an even par. We are one creation, human, praise be to Allah. Thank you, Martha. Praise be to Allah. Okay. We cannot go back and change the Quran and say that the male, he's the all in all, and the female is an afterthought. She's an afterthought of the Creator. Praise be to Allah. So we follow strictly what Allah has revealed in the Quran. Praise be to Allah. And let me say this. I heard it said earlier that Allah does not send revelation to a female. Allah sent revelation to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Allah sent revelation to her, announcing the coming of Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary. Allah sent revelation to her. Allah sent revelation to the mother of Moses also. See? Yes, he did. He did that. So we don't want to water that down. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. And I must say, all of the established prophets were male. Let me say that. All of the established prophets were male. Okay. Let's return back to the address, Creator and creation. May we all benefit from the hearing. Inshallah.
Hello. Hello. As a people in this religion, we should become productive in our intellect. This is what makes man productive as an intellect. When he understands the unity of creation and the purpose in creation for him, that he has been made different for a great purpose. And that is, so he should reach his potential, reach his destiny. And his destiny is what? To utilize. His destiny is to utilize the benefits and creation for the improvement of our life. Muslim man. I don't know of any other people with a religion that is as clear as ours on the creation and its purpose, man and its purpose. Therefore, we should be more industrious than any other people. In the Dark Ages, Muhammad the Prophet was born and raised up from among the unlettered people, according to the teachings of the Quran and the history. They unschooled a man with the revelation called Quran, led his people to become the torchbearers of science and civilization. He broke the Dark Ages with a rebirth of science and a unique civilization never before seen. A social order of the greatest excellence. Yes. And for 8 centuries, America has only been surviving as a Greek country for about 100 years or less. For 8 centuries, that great society brought in by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet thrived, and just expanded and pushed back the darkness and savagery and ignorance and spread civilization. This is history. That lasts for about 8 centuries. Some say, oh, what happened to the Muslims? You should understand that they were progressing for about 8 centuries. And America has not progressed for 8 centuries. America has progressed for about a century, and now on the way down. So if you want to compare the product of Quran with the product of America, of America's Americanism, whatever you want to call it, okay, all right, this is going now. And we're talking about something that was going up for 8 centuries. In Spain alone, it was thriving for 7 centuries. In Spain alone. In one country, in Spain, for 7 centuries. That's a long time. Look how long the communist ideology has just been here. Huh? It already has died. It's on the wing. Huh? But these are realities. Don't look at the immediate moment and try to dress something that has been around for centuries. But look at its history and compare its history with the thing that you are questioning or the thing that you are fascinated by. And if we compare the history of Islam with the history of America, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. America, at the top of its day of beacon democracy, it went and selected African people for slavery. Whereas Islam came and didn't select slaves, but it started curbing the movement of slavery, bringing slaves into freedom and dignity, leadership over men with knowledge and education, high standing, moral men, slave-led noble men, in Islam. Yes. And in many countries, slaves rose to the top to be the king. Yes. In fact, there's a whole a dynasty of rulers that came from a slave society, the Mamluk Empire. They weren't slaves anymore. They were free men ruling their society. But before, they had been slaves, before the religion of Islam. Yes. So there's no comparison. The quick burst of science here is just like a firecracker. That's what it is, just like a firecracker. One big fuss and a great noise. Sure, they have vehicles out there. But how do we know it down here? What are they doing for us down here? The only answer is that America has sent vehicles out, sure, the communists too, both of them, sent spaceships out there. But how do we know it down here? What are they doing for us down here? They're all across our communication. It's doing a great job. That's not as great as Benjamin Franklin's kike. We got more from Benjamin Franklin's kike. Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who sent the kike up? Yeah, we got more from this kike than we've gotten from these objects that they've thrown out there in space and taken taxpayers' money in billions and billions and billions. Billions. And most of what they've done is made the man sick. Made the human person sick. Messed up his senses. Threw off his natural clockwork, is thrown off. No more functional as a natural person anymore. The average one of us can't even function as a natural person. Right? It's a fact. I know it because just like you and me, we all the same. We left something back home. They're not functioning. Just like the wires have been crossed or something. And the thing is happening all funny and erratic, you know. You expect one response and you get something just opposite, you know. You ask for a handshake, you might get a tongue in your hand. I'm exaggerating to make a point, you know. Just that strange. Function is just that strange. You know, the computer going crazy. And they've just been rising up for about 50 years or more. That's all. Just about 50 years or more, and already going down. Going down. And that's not the dumb people saying that. You know, who you would say that? Their top people in government are saying the same thing. The top people of this society are saying the same thing.
Hold on, I'm getting ready to play part two, inshallah, of this address. Let's see now. Okay. Part one. Trying to reach part two. Let me, I'll type it in. I thank you for your patience. Praise be to Allah. Okay, here we go. Praise be to Allah. I believe this is it. Creation and Creator, part two. Let me see if this is it. No, that is not it. I saw it on the board here yesterday and earlier this morning. Okay, let me see. Let me type in the man's name. Then maybe it'll come up then. Okay, I believe we're on to something here. That this may be it. I believe this. I believe I've reached it, inshallah. We'll see in a moment.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human...
No, that's still part one. Let me... It's here, and I'm grateful for your patience with me. Praise be to Allah, as I locate part two. Let me go back one page. Oh, this page cannot be found. That's what they're saying. Okay. I don't think I'll be able to access. Have patience with me, please, as I locate part two. Let me try here. Maybe I should have opened up another tab and had that ready. Nope, I'm only seeing part one. Hold on one moment. Maybe I can access it from right here.
This is the world broadcast.
Take it down. Okay, here we go. Praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for everyone's patience with me. Thank you. Part two.
You know, me, the religion, we have our religion. And we don't need their philosophies or their ideologies. We have ours. It's in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet and in the wisdom of the Muslim scholars. We don't need anything from them. No. In fact, our presence in any non-Muslim country, if we be Muslim, is a blessing to that people. Yes, it's a real blessing to that people. If we be really Muslim, they don't have much to offer us. No, indeed. And if you all stop following their sense and start following Islamic sense, you'll do better as families. You do better as business people. You do better even in America's politics. Yes, if you stop following their senses and start following the sense of a Muslim, obedient to the word of God, the Sunnah of the Prophet, you'll find that you make much more progress. The most progressive people in this country, materially speaking, and in the sense of achievement, social achievement, cultural achievement, according to studies that have been done recently, is the Jew. Now, how come the Jews stand out for financial success and all other kinds of success as a people, for the people? How come he stands out? Because the Jews, to this present time,
supports America, but look at you. He thinks you. He lives you. He has his own view of reality from a Jewish knowledge base. He stands on Jewish knowledge, and then he looks at the world, and he says with Jewish eyes what the world is, what the world should be. Father, shoot. And a Muslim should understand that you have the greenness. Now, the only way you're going to realize that is holding true to your religion and to your life form. The Muslims under Prophet Muhammad realized that because they held true to their religion. They held true to the Islamic life form. They pursued Islamic goals. Not the goals that the world suggested, as we're doing. That is what it is. You're pursuing goals that this world suggests to you. You're not looking at your religion. You're not studying the Quran. You're studying the Sunnah. You're studying the history of this religion to see what should be your goals that you should be pursuing. No, you're getting your cues from the environment of the world. In other words, then you are not under the power of your religion. You're under the power of the world. The world is forming you. The world is forming your future. And that's why we're weak as Muslims in this country. When we get our life into our hands sufficiently, like the Jew has his life in his hands. But I hope we can do it even better. We should. We ought to do it much better. When we get our life in our own hands, and we start living our life in accordance with our religion, buddy, we are going to become a progressive people in this country. And not only in this country, we only live. We're talking about a revelation that has not been challenged successfully, the Quran. We're talking about a reputation of a man, of a successor, of a successful leader, a triumphant leader, Muhammad, peace be upon him. We're talking about a record that has not been challenged successfully. Huh? And we're also talking about a history that cannot be matched. Given the time that the accomplishments were realized, the short period of time, and the longevity of that life, for a nation like Spain, a country founded by the people of North Africa. Huh? By the people of North Africa. Not Spain itself, but that order of Spain that survived under the Muslims was established under Muslims from North Africa. Some of them might have been your forefathers. That's a fact. In fact, nobody would be so foolish to say that none of their descendants are among us. There must be some of their descendants among us. In fact, I remember my father showing us a newspaper clipping with a man on the slave dock being sold, and he was dressed like a Moor of Northern Africa. He had that dress. And the one of the names they used to give us was Blackamoor. Called us Negro, they called colored people, they called us Black. They also called us Blackamoor. So they must have thought, too, some of us descended from the Moors. You see? So you don't know what past you may have. You can cut off of your past. So all we can do is just speculate and guess as to what the past was for us individually. Or going to hunt for our roots like Haley did, come up with a movie. We could do that. But what we can be sure of, if we are true believers, is the future. We can work for an Islamic future. Maybe we're not certain that we had an Islamic past, but we can, if we are Muslims, we can work for an Islamic future. And if we will do that, we will progress ourselves. not separately like we some of us do. It doesn't count so much. We die, we leave nothing back here for the race and nothing for the children. But we'll progress as a society, as a community of Muslims in America. But we should learn from the unity of creation, the oneness of its nature, its consistent laws. We should learn great sciences and then use those sciences to better our own environment and to make progress for ourselves on this earth. We have to stop thinking spiritually. Religious people are spiritual, but their assignment is on this earth until God called them away from it. Our assignment on this is on this earth. But we cannot be thinking spiritual, and we're a spiritual community. No. We are a dynamic, striving, productive community. If we are Muslim, we're supposed to be working to improve the whole life of man, if we're really Muslims. So let us keep the Islamic life before us and the commitment to community, community life and community advancement, with God and Muhammad to us to guide us into community life and into community establishment, that we may be a community on this earth. No matter where we are, we have to live the disciplines of the Islamic community life. Live those disciplines is also to have Islamic businesses, Islamic cultural facilities, Islamic outlets for the total need in your human life. America is a good place for it, because in America, that right is sacred. That's a sacred right in America's law, constitutional law, that every people have a right to practice their own religion, to have their own religious government. Do you know that? Do you know that religious people have the right to their own religious government? That's why there's a separation of church and state, because they recognize church as government and state as government. And the Christians are entitled to Christian government life. Jews, they don't ask anybody for it. They have their government life. They've always had it. They ain't going to change it. Many of the ancients come over here, they have their government life. Doesn't mean that you work against this government. No, this government is so loose. You have to have another government. Yeah, if you don't have another government, you don't have any government. This government is only it's a support. It's a guardian for your government. That's all it is. It's a guardian for the government that you choose. Now, what government do you choose? You choose Islamic government, you choose Hindu government, you choose Jewish government, you choose church government. What government do you choose? Okay, this government is supposed to be a guardian for your government, as long as you're a citizen of this country. But if you don't have no sense of government, this government ain't much for you. That's a fact. I know many of the ignorance among us, they can't understand that, and they can't see what I'm saying. They can't appreciate what I'm saying here. Well, don't call us ignorant, Brother Imam. I called you ignorant in a nice way. I said they're ignorant among us. So we got our ignorance, and we got our wives, I hope. Don't be ashamed of somebody saying that you're ignorant. I'm ignorant myself in some respect. Maybe in many respects, I'm ignorant myself. And in respect of what I'm saying right now, I'm sure that many of you all are ignorant. You don't understand this country's idea. The idea of the American people, this country, this nation, the nation. You don't understand it. And you think that there's only one government. This government, just like it has states within the state, so many states, but all coming under federal government. The one state, the United States. But in the United States, the president comes out and gives the State of the Union address, right? The State of the Union address. So the Union is one state, but in that one Union, there are many states. And all the states have their different laws. Huh? And then the cities have their different laws.
sister-in-law. And if you want to form your own township, you can form your own township, and your township can have laws for your own needs that people have to respect when they come into your township. America is a freedom all the way. There's nothing in America that's not free. Even law is free in America. It's free to the point that we can scrap the whole Constitution and bring in another one. Isn't that provided in the Constitution of the United States? Yes. But don't be afraid. I say that to keep next to you. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? You know, we were slaves for 3 centuries. We were slaves. Not necessarily us yet, but our people. For centuries, we were slaves. And that, I think still the best of slavery is in us saying, is that permissible? And you'll never know what is permissible unless you study. Why don't you study that? If you're afraid to progress in America because you're afraid to break a law or you're afraid to do something out of order, you think you're going to meet grave consequences for doing it, then if you want to be bigger and more progressive, you want to get more, you want to have more in life, why don't you study America's law? Study its constitution. Study its history. Study its idea. And if you come to know it better, you realize then that you have much more freedom than you're asking for. Black people don't ask for much freedom. Just want the freedom to work. And really, we don't want the freedom to work. Most of us just want the freedom to eat, sleep, have sex, have fun, die. Now, that's the truth. That's the fact. Most of us, that's the limit of our freedom, all the freedom we want. Say, oh, hey, what is this great idea you Muslims got? How much money you all got? Because money means party, a woman, food, drink, eat. So really, you don't want no money. If you wanted money, you get into economics. Get into financing. If you want some money, really, you don't want no money. You want sex. You want some liquor, some drinks, and some food. You want to eat. You want to be warm. You want to look good. You want to be dressed up, you see. You want to ride around a nice car. But really, you don't want no money. You want looks and feelings. Right? You just want looks and feelings. That's all you want. Because if you wanted money, you wouldn't be asking for those things. You wouldn't ask for money. You wouldn't even ask for a job. You'd ask for freedom. Eh? You'd ask for freedom. Because if he's free, and if he's got what it takes, he can get whatever anybody else can get. They called me up at home, and they told me that it was late for Juma. Should they start? But I told them, since you called me and don't start, wait. I was on the way. I was going to be late. So I know a lot of it there. I wish you had not come. Sorry if I'm holding you from something very important. Yes. So there's no way for us except to be true to the religion. That's the only way. Be true to the religion and we'll get everything. God will then bless us. Everything else will be answered. We get all the other needs will be taken care of. Just be true to the religion. And believe me, there's no way for us to be true to this religion and just come here and pray and go home. No. Prophet Muhammad, unlike the other prophets, he gave us big, big responsibility in the world. Prophet Muhammad, he didn't allow the Muslim to be outside of the work of the community and receive merit, praise, and honor. No. He played down the importance of those who just went about their spiritual duty, but weren't doing something constructive for society, weren't doing a work that benefited society. Besides, Prophet Muhammad says, the best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. The best of you is the most useful of you to humanity. And the best of you is the one
best of his offering the most useful to his community, to the Muslim, to the believers. See? So, whoever benefits man the most, what are you doing to benefit the man? What are you doing to benefit your society? You just being obedient in your prayers and your devotional thoughts. And how is that benefiting us in this society? Is that relieving that financial burden on us? Is that making jobs far jobless? No. So those who get involved and invest in business and make jobs far jobless, and who do scientific work to improve the future for man, they are more valuable according to our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And he didn't say nothing that wasn't already in the Quran. Whatever the Prophet has said is already in the Quran. God says, you're the best community brought out for the good of all people. And the Prophet says, the best of you is the one who benefits mankind. It's the same if you understand it. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا واتبر أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We thank him and praise him on the gift of Muhammad, noble and generous messenger of God. We pray peace and blessings be upon him, on his descendants, his companions, all the righteous. Amen.
Okay, I'm returning back to the studio board now. If there's any of you that would like to share, press on your phone. I'm opening up the mic of 337-419. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. Alaikum assalam to you and the audience. So much has been said. Appreciate the imam making clear our obligation as Muslims going beyond just keeping up our prayers and fasting the fast and the like. But there's an obligation for us to provide service in whatever way that we've been blessed, whatever equipment that Allah has equipped us with. And the Quran tells us, even if we're equipped lightly, that we are to go forward. And where are we going? We're going forward in service to humanity. And the Quran identifies the major areas that we are to share with society, our community, and the social life. And it's a really big job because we're actually also, you know, Allah gives us the focus of the purpose of the Quran being revealed, that it comes to correct ideas about him, about the Creator, about God, Almighty God. Anything that's been said about Almighty God in reference to him that is incorrect, the Quran comes as a correction. And it also corrects ideas that religion has introduced in terms of man and man's creation by Almighty God. It corrects those ideas, and not only does it correct it, but it goes beyond in terms of advancing ideas that man did not have the capability of knowing. You know, for instance, the description of the developmental stages of the life in the womb of the mother, in the belly of the mother, it describes that. And with that description, it describes the human being process in a picture language way, describing the development that Almighty God intends in terms of what is given in the Quran about Adam, God breathing into him the breath. I think it's also in the Bible, but and what that picture really represents. So it is an excellent tool for correcting this gas, this poisonous ideas that are in the form of language environment or words that poison the soul and have people confused about what their reality is. It puts the human soul on solid ground, and as the Imam mentioned, to build, not to be spiritual, you know, with our minds up in the clouds, up in the sky, but it's designed to direct our spirituality into the earth for greater and greater production. And I'll stop there. Thank you, Imam.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. The Imam mentioned how successful Jews are. You know, I played a presentation that the Imam gave. I believe it was in 1978 or somewhere thereabout. It was the one of the words in the heading was a jubilee.
Yeah.
And the Imam mentioned that jubilee was celebrated. And you find those words in what they call the Old Testament. And a jubilee was celebrating their productive life, celebrating their material establishment, a jubilee. So look at how they have balanced their life. They are not just all spiritual. They also celebrate material production. The Imam mentioned.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Imam mentioned, I'm not sure what address it was. He said, but we don't want to be like Uncle Remus. Uncle Remus just sat under a tree and told stories. Uncle Remus just sat under a tree and used words and just told stories. Some of us fell into that, competing with one another, sharing the insights that Almighty God has blessed us with. And we these are not general statements, but there's too many. There's too much of that. When we have our large national gathering and function, the highlight of that gathering is to hear an address from one of our learned imams. But the Imam have suggested to us that when you have large meetings like that, have a large portion of it addressing our material needs, addressing strategies for establishing business and causing business to grow. Not just to come and hear a wonderful, and I must say we have some wonderful speakers that give some excellent khutbah. But we don't want us to, as the Imam said, we shouldn't be like Uncle Remus, just sit under a tree and tell stories. Inshallah, we want a jubilee celebration ourselves, celebrating the material progress and the business progress that we have made. You know, we say and we know that all masajid are independent. I live here in St. Louis, and the community here, we should be addressing how we can meet the material needs of our Islamic life, how we can enrich the Islamic life, not just Jumu'ah, or Ta'aleem, the Eid, and we celebrate.
Imam, in regards to that,
yes,
Imam,
sir. Huh?
In the address, I hope we can, you know, revisit it more than just one time. But the Imam described the structure to help us to be more aware of not just the Jews, but the Asians and other communities. More recently, the Latinos.
We have a lot of examples right in front of us. You know,
but I mean in terms of the specific focus.
I should ask myself and leaders here and those of us here, how can we better improve upon and accommodate the life that Allah has chosen for us? How can I make it easier on Brother Ahmed and his family? How can I make the Islamic life more beneficial for Brother Ahmed and his family? How can we add to our life on a material level? We have a unique diet. Huh? We have a unique diet. The Jews have a unique diet. And they have established kosher. We have to go in search of a halal food or either piggyback. Well, I hate using that word, not piggyback. But anyway, rely on the kosher diet that the Jews have provided for themselves and their family. So as we establish to make our life more conducive and more better as a Muslim community, we are helping the wholes of society. We are helping. We are an added value to the whole society. So I'm only speaking at the level of where most of us are at, the local level.
Well, I wanted to address where many of us are not, that the Imam mentioned, not just the Jews, but he mentioned the Asians. And I'll include the Latinos in terms of their sensitivity and awareness that they have a government and that this country provides a support, like the Imam mentioned, the separation of church and state, that the government is loose enough to the non-religious government supports the religious government. You know, it supports Christianity, it supports the Asian philosophy, and thereby they're able to be productive. And we're missing, he said that many of us, he even mentioned the word ignorant, that he was ignorant of a lot of things, but many of us may be ignorant of just how this country operates to support our greater productivity if we govern ourselves within our religion and see the obligations that our religion and this government supports our religious government being established. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, you are so correct, Michael. That is very important. The overall government is the overriding umbrella. It's the umbrella and the protection of the government that you establish for yourself and your community.
Yes.
So we have to understand, as the imam, the structure of this government. The first of its pronouncements was the freedom of religion.
Yes.
That this government will not set up a national religion, but you have the right to worship as you please. As long as, you know, I'm not talking about Jim Jones or something like that. I'm talking about legitimate religious, that you have the freedom to establish that under the umbrella of this government. And Jews have done it. Others have done it. Haitian, you name it. But I am focusing in on us, that we not just be satisfied with going to Juma and following the spiritual trappings of that Islam, but that we also join in a jubilee celebrating the material establishment, the jubilee. And the imam mentioned, he said, don't be like Uncle Remus that just sat under the tree telling stories. You know, here's a suggestion, small as my suggestions are. They may be discounted or whatever. But every community should have a meeting and come to a consensus of what is the most important need of our Islamic community. What takes number one priority for easing the struggle that we're in? And if there is a consensus agreed to, then everyone participate in establishing that. My life and my death are all for Allah. But not only your life and your death, even your money. Even your money. We cannot be satisfied with changing a cause every year or every 3 years like the regular run of people do. To not just exist. To not just exist. We will have a greater effect from material establishment. We're obligated. You are my brother, Michael, and if there's any way that I can assist you in making your Islamic life more easier, I should be obligated to do that. So we can do that.
And likewise,
on a community
likewise
level.
In return.
We can actually function like that, but we have to first do like we are doing now. Discuss that. Use mutual consultation. Imam Wazir Ali, very progressive imam in this association. He shared with us periodically, they hold community meetings. The imams pull off their imam cap and all of that. And they discuss priorities. And they work to establish that. So that's only a suggestion that I'm giving. that we do that. We
Excellent.
Can't just exist, just walk around breathing the air, changing cars every 3 years, seeing what is the latest style, all of that. We are too separated, even in our locale. But we come together for Juma, for the congregational prayer. The second khutbah is designated to address community concerns and community needs. This idea can be introduced at the congregational prayer.
Yeah.
And a time that we all agree upon to meet and hold this type of community meeting. How can we ease the burden on all of us as Muslims in a non-Islamic country? I'll stop right there. Praise you to Allah.
Thank you. And,
okay.
And the Imam gave us that insight, you know, from looking at other people. We can ease the burden by getting more knowledge, you know. Okay, we may be ignorant of a lot of things. And I would say that studying like this session, the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose, how the lectures of Imam Muhammad, if we would ask Allah to help us to get greater utility from what he has shared over the years, ask Allah to help us for greater application of what Imam Muhammad, we say he's the leader of this association, this community, help us to get greater utility. You know, what was shared today in the lecture is something that we need to just not take it on the surface, but we need to go into it.
That's right.
And take Shura Bainahun. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Imam. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. So I pray that what we are offering here is beneficial and useful. We have another caller on the line, 727-741. I believe this is Martha Naila Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Martha.
Alaikum assalam. You got it. Alhamdulillah. Calling from the Florida. I'll just put it that way. Calling from Florida. Praise be to Almighty God for what I've heard, the two of you and Michael relay, and what Imam Warsi Muhammad Rahimahullah has relayed, and that is timeless in my thinking. And so I just want to add that the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiatives will be today, inshallah, in conjunction with preparing to make it in the land of plenty. This is the second Saturday. We are returning to that original process, inshallah. And today, all of your contribution will be necessary. And just in my own studying and such, what we present is not to be taken that it is okay, said and done. But what we do want to present and acknowledge is that as hearing the Imam, our sensitivity to the life that is here in this land and to the life that was established, that was enslaved before, and the outcome where we are now and the contributions that have been made, that we now take a stand with, and we can only take a stand when we understand that we are privy to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah has placed us, what Allah has placed before us, along with the work and the reward. So, inshallah, we're going from that angle that the whole 50 states strong, we are united, as this is the United States. We're going to take that into the heart and soul and go forward and truly look at the benefits and how we are to present from the weak, from the least to the greatest, or the most, I should say, contribution. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. 50 years sound like a long time, but it's not. At least we are putting the first step forward. You know, on any long journey, it first takes that first step. Praise be to Allah. Let me see here. Yes, alhamdulillah. We have about 6 minutes of broadcast time left, and I want to utilize as much of it for the presentation that the Imam is sharing with us, entitled Creation and not Creator and Creation. So I'll use about about a few minutes of it before we get preparing to make it in the land of plenty. So I just mull around the idea that we are sharing, that every locale, every Muslim community should hold these type of conversation, at least conversation, and let us make the life easier for each other. It's not just for me as an individual, but for the Muslim community and the members of the Muslim community. What can we establish that will make our life more better, more rewarding? Praise be to Allah. Okay, let me see if there's anyone else that would like to share. Okay, I've got about 4 minutes left. I don't think I'll try to go back to the address. Before we know it, it'll be shut down. But we shall continue this address, inshallah, next Saturday. Let us think on what we've heard. Let us think on our thinking. And let us question our moods. We are very moody people, the Imam said. We're very moody people. Let's put our moods in check. And hone in on how I can help you, how you can help me. How we're Muslims, and we have to provide for ourselves. No one else has the responsibility to meet our Islamic Muslim need other than us. And it can be done locally, right where I'm at, if we come into that frame of mind and that agreement that we work to make our Muslim life more convenient, more compatible. Praise be to Allah. So I invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 following this broadcast for the broadcast of preparing to make it in the land of plenty. I leave you now with the greetings of peace, as I came to you with the greetings of peace. In the Quranic Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, and be willing to work. Allah asked of humanity a question from out of the surah, Rahmah, mercy. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? I leave you now with, we got to be thankful. Assalamu alaikum. I love you all.
Stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray, my Lord, their souls be saved. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be all right,
gotta be all right,
be the best that I can, try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I'm gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life. And all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down.
As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.